Let's share in prayer. Almighty God, our Father, we approach Thee to adore Thee and adore Thee to worship Thee. And we worship Thee to know Thee and to be known by Thee. We have our hopes and our fears as we gather around this Thy table. Our hearts tell us that by Thy presence we may unlock for ourselves the secrets of our identity, our relationship, our purpose on this earth together. This is our hope. Our hearts also tell us that we may not like what we learn and have to undergo serious spiritual surgery here before Thee. And this is our fear. We confess that our thoughts are not Thy thoughts, nor our ways Thy ways. On our markets, things are expensive and life is cheap. We scarcely ever ponder what a sparrow is worth, much less the value of a person. We seldom consider the lilies, for our system is built on manufactured flowers. So, living God, guard us from spending our days so that when we come to the end of it, we're well upholstered on the outside and burned out on the inside. Build us up here at Thy table from within. Deliver us today from feverish competition with others. By the power of the love of Thy Son Jesus, who endured the distrust of all that in Him lay, we might learn today to trust again. Be powerful and present, for we pray it in the strong name of Thy Son Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, He is alive. He is alive. He is alive.
He is alive. He empowers us to live in peace and every day.
He is alive and He has opened the door. He gives us hope to live evermore.
He is alive.
So we celebrate. This is the story we must relate. He is alive and we love Him.
We are alive and He loves us.
So be it.
The text for this day is taken from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. I shall read just three verses for your hearing. Paul writes in this place, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" Would you bow with me for a moment of silent prayer? Amen. Yesterday at this hour, in this time, we celebrated together. We observed together Founders Day. We thought about our rootage as a seminary. The president of our seminary, Dr. Lally, mentioned that word roots, which has taken on new meaning for most of us in the last year. It is difficult to believe, but just 13 months ago or so, our television screens were bombarded for an entire week with the story of one man's roots, as Alex Haley presented to us the story of his search for his own background. We were doing some of that ourselves in this place yesterday. There is, of course, a story behind the story of Alex Haley's search. Perhaps you have heard it or read it. It began when he was just a youngster sitting on the front porch in Henning, Tennessee with his grandmother and listening to his grandmother talk about the African, a man who had lived seven generations ago. There were four words from his vocabulary that the grandmother continued to remember. One was the port city to which he had come in this country, a port called Napolis, to the best of her recollection. Another word was the word ko, which meant guitar. Another couple of words were Kambe Balongo, which referred to a river in that African nation from which the African himself had come. And then there was a name called Kente. Meager clues, to say the least. But they so gripped the heart of Alex Haley that he began to search, a search which was to take him at least 10 years, across seven generations of time, until he discovered Kunta Kinte, his great-great-great-great-grandfather, and discovered the little town of Jafur in Gambia from which his ancestors had come, and discovered that that one ancestor, Kinte himself, had landed not in Napolis, but Annapolis, Maryland, on September 29, 1767. And so Haley says, there was nowhere for me to be 200 years later, on September 29, 1967, but to be standing on a pier near Annapolis, Maryland, looking out to sea across the waters over which my great-great-great-great-grandfather had come and arrived 200 years ago in that very spot. I wonder if there's such a place for you, a place like that pier was and is for Alex Haley, a place to which you return now and again to get reacquainted with yourself, reacquainted with your own roots. It may be the home place in which you were reared. The place may be dilapidated, falling apart now, or may just be a spot of earth now, but it means a lot to you. It may be a hallowed spot on which you first offered or received that marriage proposal. It may be an athletic field or a field of military conflict on which you literally left a part of yourself. It may be some piece of soil or some spot in a building somewhere where a life-changing decision was made. But to such spots we return now and then to get reacquainted with our own selves, to get in touch again with our own roots. There are at least three such places for me. And believe it or not, one of those places is that place on which we are met this day. A number of years ago, my father came to college in this place with $33.32 in his pocket. The first fellow named Brown from our section of the family to ever go to college. And so from earliest childhood, this particular piece of real estate has meant a great deal to me. It has changed not only his life, but my life. Another place for me is that sandy soil down in Johnston County, 40 miles from here, where Browns have lived for some 200 years. A particular piece of ground called the Old Place, which I like to walk now and then and think about my grandfather and others who have meant a great deal to me. Still a third such place for me is a pulpit in a small church in Florida where my grandfather Wilson preached until he was nearly 85 years old. With regard to our own family heritages then, there are certain spots that become holy ground for us. But beloved, Today we stand on ground more holy still, far more holy than a pier in Annapolis, Maryland, or a front porch in Henning, Tennessee, or an old place near Selma, North Carolina, or a pulpit in Milton, Florida. We stand before the table of our Lord. We stand before a memory place for us all. William Barclay reminds us of a legend concerning Zacchaeus. You remember the story about Zacchaeus in the New Testament, about his climbing up a sycamore tree and having a confrontation with our Lord and his Lord from that tree, and after he came down from the tree. There is an ancient legend that takes the story over there and goes beyond. According to the legend, Zacchaeus, for years after that event, would disappear from Jericho from time to time, disappear from the bustle of the marketplace, disappear. People did not know where he was. But one day his friends discovered him. He was out at the sycamore tree again, not in it this time, but at the base of it, touching it, almost caressing it. And they said to him, "What are you doing here?" And he is supposed to have replied, according to this legend, "It was from this tree that I first saw my Lord. And when I get all hot and bothered and worried and tired, I come out here again and stand beside it, and I meet him again." A memory place. James T. Clellan of Duke University has referred to the Lord's table as being our Zacchaeus tree, our memory place. And it is it not? For here we come not merely in remembrance of grandmothers or grandfathers, but here we come in remembrance of what the God and Father of us all has done in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's table is our Zacchaeus tree. It is our place of remembering. It is our place for getting in touch again. Before this, our Zacchaeus tree, we remember what Christ has done for us. We remember. We remember an upper room in Jerusalem where a group of bewildered yet hopeful followers tried to understand what their prophet was driving at and striving for. We remember. We remembered a shared cup and a shared loaf and a common cup, Eastern symbols of fellowship, comradeship, friendship that nothing was supposed to destroy. We remember. We remember that with the taste of bread and wine still in their mouths, one of his followers betrayed him, and all of his followers deserted him. We remember. We remember how a great empire and religious folk connived to put him to death. We remember. We remember the lingering cruelty of that awful execution upon the cross. We remember all of this. We remember what Christ has done for all of us on the cross of Calvary, where he took our place and atoned for our sin. But our remembering is not all past tense. For here, before this, our Zacchaeus tree, we meet him again. Here again we hear his promise in the present tense, "Lo, I am with you always." Here we, like Zacchaeus, are put in touch with a memory of his personal care for us that emanates from the cross and touches us still. A memory so powerful of one so alive that it is present tense. Here, we meet him again. But our memory is really not only past tense and present tense, but as Christians, our memory is future as well. We remember forward as well as backward. Paul tells us in our text for this day that in remembering, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, which is talking about the future, is it not? This table then reminds us of another table, the table where our Lord Jesus Christ himself will serve as host. And you, and I, and Zacchaeus, and a host of others will be permanently invited guests. Our Zacchaeus tree. It points us to a glorious future which our Lord is preparing for those of us who have faith in him even now. Brothers and sisters, this table is our Zacchaeus tree. We find our roots here. We experience sustenance for the present here. We receive the promise again here. The promise of another table. The promise of a great reunion. Let us come then to this memory place, this our Zacchaeus tree, and let us open ourselves to meet him again.
His remembrance. He said it himself when he passed the loaf and partook the cup. He said himself, "Do it in remembrance of me." And so we mortals gather once more, reminded that the greatest gift God gives us is the capability to recollect. And we've made that gift just slightly more than another gift we have, and that is the gift to forget. Both are graceful. God only knows what it would be like if life were of the sort that we couldn't ever forget. But you know, our capacity to remember is surpassed in many cases only by our capacity to forget. And so we gather again with poignant reminders. Not just symbols grabbed out of the air, but bread, his symbol, and the fruit of the vine, his symbol too. There's recollection here, and reconciliation, and forgiveness. And as my pastor has so beautifully said, there is hope here. For what is hope except that stirring of memory and aspiration? And so into the midst of that, which only Christ can give in right balance, we approach again the table. He said it. This is my body, broken for you. Take of it and eat, and do so in remembrance of me. Almighty God, help us today as we try with all that in us lies to follow thee and put muscle and nerve into our callings. Grant that we go not forth like Don Quixote's with our lances tilted toward windmills, but by following your unswerving purposes as your truth outlines them for our lives. Grant that we might once more enflesh your church through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Strange symbol, this fruit of the vine, to remind us of the very juice which sustains our lives. In this cup there sparkles the reality of the toughness and the tenderness of this quantity we call our lives. Everything in this universe caters to life, and yet everything in this universe will destroy and destruct that which will die. Only that which refuses to die ultimately lives. And our Lord Christ, on the night of his betrayal, tried to tell them that he refused to die. And he did it by pouring the cup, passing them among them, and asking them to drink of it because it was his blood shed for them. In the same context, he told them that he would be back. They couldn't comprehend either reality, nor can we. But we can remember We can remember that in the rhythm of the toughness and the tenderness, we too live our lives and perform our ministries, celebrate our Easter, not by the calendar, but by the Lord Christ alive in us. And so the cup bids us, as he instructed, to drink of it in remembrance of him. Almighty God, grant that this day we might be empowered by thy Spirit as we are refreshed by this fruit of the vine in Christ the Lord. Amen.